I met a gambler in Wyoming Territory and learned something about the terrible war between the states.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
When I returned to Cheyenne in Wyoming Territory, I found that a new and thriving establishment had opened during my absence. I first heard of it over a drink with Kerry Chase, the editor and publisher of the Cheyenne Daily Press. We were standing at the bar in the Gold Room Saloon, and I remarked on the fact that the adjacent gambling rooms seemed unusually quiet.
Been like this over a week now.
Any particular reason?
I guess you haven't heard about Madame Verdi.
No.
Quite a woman. Sailed in here 10 days ago, in Denver, they say. Got the biggest painted freight wagon you ever saw. And some kind of a omnibus for her to travel in. Well, I tell you, no lady's boudoir was ever decked out any better.
Is she a medicine woman?
Oh, no, gambling. Set herself up near the depot, a big tent, roulette, faro, anything you name. Brought in her own dealers, case keepers, spindlemen. Day after she arrived, posters went up all over town. And since then, well, the local boys aren't very happy about it.
Taking all their business, huh?
Just about.
What sort of woman is she?
I tried to get an interview. Not much luck. Doesn't like to talk about herself. But I tell you, there's a story there. I'd like to get it. Yes, sir. Quite a woman.
Pretty?
Pretty and a lady. A real belle.
Madame Verdi. Is she foreign?
I wouldn't say so. Why don't you go down and take a look this afternoon? I'd like to join you, but I got to get my editorial out. Maybe I'll see you later.
Right. I found the tent, a huge affair, 100 yards or so from the railroad depot. Inside, a crowd of men thronged about several tables, and I recognized a number of wealthy cattlemen whom I had met a few weeks earlier at the Cheyenne Club. Then I saw Madame Verdi. She was rather small, quite lovely, wearing a very simple white and gold gown which set off her long, jet-black hair. The effect was striking, as I was sure it was meant to be. She sat behind a small table dealing a game called 21. As I approached, she looked up, caught my eye for a moment, then returned to the game. I stood watching.
Scott?
You can hit me again, ma'am. Oh, that's just fine.
You, sir?
I stand.
Pay 21.
Well, I'll be
no
a pretty...
No language, if you please, gentlemen.
I ain't never seen such luck as Buck the Tiger gets Tin Horn down Abilene. And when he got through, I didn't have a tail feather left.
The luck of the cards.
Yeah.
You want to sit in, sir?
There's
room for another.
No, thank you. 21 isn't exactly my game.
We have roulette, faro, dice, poker.
As a matter of fact, I came to see you.
Yeah, well, you ain't alone, mister. You see, there ain't nobody I'd rather lose to. Go them out again, madam.
What's your business?
I'm a newspaper man. I write for the London Times.
You English fellas sure are filling up the territory. Yeah, it seems like there's as many of you as the Sioux when he's here.
Are we playing or are we talking?
Cards, gentlemen.
You can hit me now, ma'am. And again, soft. Nice and soft. Yeah, well, I'll stay on this.
Hit me.
No, that ain't luck.
I'll listen in cards.
Oh, now, you take these here.
Now, look here. I've been losing for better than 2 hours. I say that ain't luck. Unless you want me to shoot up this place, you just hand over that money you've been cheating me on.
Put your gun away.
Yes, I would if I were you.
Mister, listen, you're willing to buck out and smoke, you just keep out of this. All right, Madam Verdi, I got 1,000 gold laying in front of you. Now, you just push it over and I won't
no,
be any...
No, you don't.
There now, mister. You know, for an Englishman, you got a real likely face there. Hey, look at that. He's asleep and as gentle as a dead cat.
Is everything all right, ma'am?
Yes, thank you, Ed. Take him outside and throw a bucket of water over
him. Yes, ma'am.
Tell Charlie to take over from me.
Yes, oh, ma'am. You leaving, ma'am?
For a little while.
Well, I'll be waiting for you. Still got a ways to go before I'm cleaned out.
Perhaps you'll let me stand you a drink, sir.
No, thank you. It's a little early for me.
I'm grateful for what you did just now. But really, it wasn't necessary. He never would have left the tent alive. My boys are always on the watch for things like that.
I didn't know.
What do they call you?
Kendall. J.B. Kendall.
Will you come over to my place, Mr. Kendall? It's quieter.
Well, I'm overwhelmed, Madame Verdi. I must say, I've never seen anything like it.
My home on wheels. I'm a traveling woman, Mr. Kendall, but I see no reason to give up my comfort. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Are you fond of birds, Mr. Kendall?
I don't think I've ever thought of it one way or the other.
This is my pet, Trinket. He's been with me for 3 years now. I don't usually talk to newspaper men.
So I understand. Mr. Chase of the Cheyenne Press told me he didn't have much luck.
Some newspaper men have been rather unkind.
Well, I think that readers in England would be fascinated by you.
What, for example, would fascinate them?
The obvious. That a young and very pretty woman is running the most successful gambling establishment in Cheyenne. And she bears the somewhat unusual name, Madame Verdi.
It used to be Madame Vestal. That was in Denver.
And before that?
I was Mrs. Newt Hallett. My husband was an army surgeon. He died in Texas of yellow fever.
Oh.
After that, I tutored for a while at an Indian agency. Then I found that I possessed an uncommon skill with the cards. There now. You have my entire history.
Or at least something to start with. Where were you born?
I think that's one thing that I don't care to tell you.
Where were you reared?
And that's another.
Does the sort of thing that happened before in the tent occur very often?
No.
Do men take advantage of you simply because you're a woman?
To the contrary. I usually take advantage of that fact myself.
With dire results, I have no doubt. Well, I imagine that you're not particularly popular at this moment with the gambling hall owners here in Cheyenne.
I'm only interested in popularity, Mr. Kendall. When it fills my cash box.
I stayed on for another 10 minutes odd and learned very little more beyond the fact that the full name she now used was Lurline Monteverdi. Highly theatrical, she knew, but felt it was part of her work. When I once again attempted to probe into her past, she excused herself rather abruptly and returned to the big gambling tent. I walked over to Carrie Chase's office and told him about the interview. It wasn't until later that I learned what was taking place at that same moment in a room behind the Silver Dollar Saloon. Several men were present, and their faces were grim. They were listening to the Silver Dollar's owner, a man named Jonas Root.
Now, boys, I call this here meeting because we're all up against the same trouble. That trouble being one calico queen named Madame Verdi. And ain't no call now for us to keep on trying to cut each other's throats to get customers for our places. Because she's got them all. That's the way it sits. Now, boys, here's what I figure. What we need now is an association of gambling parlor owners, which association is made up of all of us here in this room. And we got a purpose, which purpose is to get rid of said calico queen named Madame Verdi.
All right, now lay off your tongue all, Jonas. We know that. You said you got it figured out how to do it. Now get
yeah,
on with it.
Yeah, that's yeah, right. All right, I got it whipped, I think. Now, all of you may be wondering who this here fella is I got sitting by.
Yeah, well, who
he
is
he? He calls himself Jack Woolcott. Now, he's got something to say to you.
Well, you say it this way. I just got robbed up to that Madame Verdi. She took me for 1,021, and when I caught her dealing off the bottom of the deck, she had a boy jump me.
Well, sure made a mess out of your face, mister. Well, I aim to make them pay for it.
Now, fellas, we don't want no crooked gambling from no she-gouger in Cheyenne. And there's something else. I've been doing some inquiring these past days since you've been here. Now, I found out... Yes, sir, I found out something going to get Fancy Nelly run plumb out of here.
Jonas, will you hear the talk? Now, what do you know?
Madame Verdi's real name was Belle Siddons.
Belle Siddons? You mean Belle Siddons?
Yeah, you know the name, Soapy.
She's that Confederate spy, Belle Siddons.
She is the same.
Well, I was on guard duty in Grant Street Prison back in St. Louis when they brought her in. Boys, that's that rebel woman got Grant's troops cut off. Joe, Finch, Big Al, you remember the raid on the Memphis and Mobile Railroad, don't you?
All right, now, I say that what we got to do is pay a call tonight on Madame Belle Siddons Verdi. And we'll ask her nice and polite to roll her wheels out of Cheyenne.
Yeah, I agree, but supposing she says no.
Well, then maybe we ain't so polite. Maybe then we take her out riding under a cottonwood leaf.
Yeah, that's right.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. You hear a lot about America's new leisure these days, but take a look at almost anybody's weekend, including your own, and you'll find everybody busier than ever at all sorts of projects and outdoor activities. Everywhere, things are humming, and everywhere, you'll find most everybody adding a pleasant new dimension to their activities with a radio nearby. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're in touch with the whole world with CBS Radio's many regular news broadcasts scheduled every weekend. In addition, with a whole CBS News staff around the world constantly on the alert for any unusual developments, you can count on immediate and comprehensive reports, whatever the hour, in case of any critical news flash. Keep up with the world with the regular CBS News broadcasts every weekend on CBS Radio. And now, we return you to the Anthony Ellis production of Frontier Gentlemen.
Neither Chase nor I had any idea what was brewing among the members of the newly formed Association of Gambling Parlor Owners. I sent a message to Madame Verdi, asking her to dine with me at the Rollins house that night. You know, I didn't think you would.
Join you for dinner? Why not?
I don't know. Perhaps you strike me as the type of woman who never allows pleasure to interfere with business, and that there's only room for business in your life.
As a rule, yes.
Well, I'm flattered that you make an exception tonight.
I'm curious about you, Mr. Kendall.
Oh?
You're not the type of man I would expect to find as a newspaper correspondent.
Is there a type?
I think you know what I mean.
No, I'm not sure that I do.
The way you managed that man this afternoon, something tells me that you could have done quite as well with a gun.
Oh. Well, I've learned a little since coming to the West.
And what did you do before coming here?
Well, a little of everything.
You don't like to talk about yourself?
There's not much to tell. Really. I was in the army in India. Spent 5 years there. Went home to England. And I didn't find it home anymore, so I got a job through a friend of mine who works on the London Times. I send back articles on life in the American West. They buy them from me.
I've met Englishmen who sound a great deal more English than you do.
It's quite possible. I haven't cultivated the accent for some time now.
You sound bitter. What happened in England?
I didn't say anything happened.
You didn't have to.
Must be your card sense that gives you an insight into a man's thoughts.
I'm seldom wrong. That's why I sit on the other side of the table. You see? It's so easy to ask questions. Not always as simple to answer them, is it?
No. Will you have more champagne?
Please. If I were asked to gamble on it, I'd say there was a woman in England.
You'd be half right.
You look so stern, Mr. Kendall. Don't worry. There'll be another. There always is.
Did you find another man after your husband died?
No. But I imagine I will. You find me terribly callous?
Not at all. Refreshingly honest.
I'm afraid I shall have to be going back to the tent now.
I'll take you.
I've enjoyed myself very much, Mr. Kendall.
So have I.
Have you any money?
Well, a little, yes.
If you decide to play roulette, I suggest that you bet on the black. Up to $1,000 payoff, it can be quite lucky.
Thank you, no. When I gamble, I'll take my own chances. It was a fine evening, and instead of taking the carriage she had hired, we walked toward her place. Neither of us spoke much. We had come to the end of the street when we saw the group of men waiting outside the big tent. They turned as we approached and walked toward us. I felt a sinking sensation in my stomach as I recognized one of them, the man I had hit that afternoon. All of them were armed.
Good evening, Madam Verdi.
Good evening, gentlemen. Waiting to try your luck with me?
Well, I'll tell you, ma'am, we're waiting to talk to you in private.
That fella, he's with her. He's one of them that pistol whipped me. He's a shill.
Let's go inside the tent, gentlemen. I'll buy you a drink.
No. We'll do our talking out here.
Jason, will you get on with it?
And, ma'am, we represent the Cheyenne Association of Gambling Parlor Owners. You ain't a member.
No, I'm not.
And we got a complaint that you're not running your games clean. The association don't like that. So we took a vote, and we agreed that you've got to be out of this here town come morning.
Where did you hear that Madame Verdi runs a crooked game? From him?
Yeah, from me.
Besides which, she ain't no Madame Verdi. I know you. Maybe you don't remember me, but I seen you, Bell Siddons, when they brought you to the St. Louis prison in chains. We don't want no Confederate spies in Cheyenne.
I don't know anything about that, but she wasn't cheating. Your friend here decided he couldn't afford to lose anymore, so he drew his gun on the lady and tried to get it back. I hit him. That's all there was to it.
You're a liar.
And if I don't choose to leave?
You ain't got no choice, Belle. You get, or you're going to find yourself looking through cottonwood leaves, which is what should have happened to you anyway. That's the way we handle your kind around here.
There won't be any need for that. Miss Siddons is going to be sensible, ain't you, ma'am? There's a lot of folks in Cheyenne might not take kindly to you being a Confederate spy and everything. Might even take matters out of our hands if they found out.
You gentlemen seem to be holding the cards.
That's the way to look at it.
Hey, Kendall.
Who's that? Oh, the newspaper fella, Chase.
I thought that was you. Evening, ma'am.
Evening.
Oh, how are you, Rude?
Boys?
You come over to see how she does it. I hear your places aren't making out so well. I thought I'd take a spin at the roulette table, Madam Verdi.
I should be honored, Mr. Chase. Why don't we all go in together?
No, I got to be getting back the silver dollar. You won't forget our little deal, will you, ma'am?
No, I won't.
We went into the tent. She was tight-lipped, pale. Four hours later, at exactly 2 o'clock, she called a halt to the play and the tent was cleared. Chase, flushed with whiskey he had taken and $100 he had won, joined me at her table.
A fine evening, ma'am. You're a credit to Cheyenne. You run a square game. And I'm going to say so in my next editorial.
Thank you, Mr. Chase, but you needn't bother. I'm leaving in the morning.
Oh, now you can't. You can't do that.
I'll be heading for Deadwood.
Why, ma'am, you could spend the rest of your life around here.
I'm afraid not.
Well, sure you can. Isn't that so, Kendall?
No, that ain't so. Now, she's getting out. But before she does, she's giving me back that $1,000. Ain't you, Madam Verdi?
I very much doubt it. Go away now, before you get into more trouble.
Now, you keep out of this, mister. I'm talking to the lady. Now, how about it, Madam Verdi?
You lost fair.
And I say I was cheated. Now, you know, folks in Cheyenne could do a lot of damage this place. Maybe to you if they found out about certain things.
Get out.
I will, when I get my money.
What's it all about? What?
Oh, he doesn't know, huh? Well, Mr. Chase, you can print it in your paper.
Print what?
Well, do I get it?
Yes.
No. No, it doesn't matter. Let him talk. The war's over. People won't mind.
People do mind, Mr. Kendall. I'm afraid they're going to go on minding for a long time.
I wish somebody would tell me what people will talk about.
That's good.
You're a scummy little rat.
Maybe. But I was a rat that fought for the Union. I wasn't a stinking...
You shut up!
Don't
try.
Here's your money.
What's the matter, mister? You scared to draw?
Just waiting for you. You're the one who's going to do the killing, remember?
Bell City. Dirty, stinking Confederate spot.
Belsons?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm sorry you had to do that, Mr. Kendall.
I am too.
I'll be gone in the morning. Thank you for your friendship.
Why not stay? Mr. Chase...
I think she better go. Thanks to Miss Siddons, I lost my brother in the Memphis Mobile raid. I'll wait for you outside, Kendall.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeannie Bates, Lawrence Dobkin, Stacey Harris, Harry Bartell, and Jack Crucian. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.